Well, hey, Dad, and welcome to another half hour of the Family Man Show. Thanks for spending your time listening to me. I do kind of wonder about you for spending a whole 30 minutes listening to me, but I sure appreciate it. I do enjoy the time just to kind of show you what's going on in my life, what I'm thinking about. And, you know, because I think being a dad's a good thing. Being a dad's not an easy thing, but it's a good thing. It's been a good week. Hope it's been a good week at your house. We just got back from my son Isaac and I, who's going to be 13 real soon. We just got back from Florida, and I'll tell you, it's a little bit of shock. We were down there, flew into Orlando on Friday, and drove down to Vero Beach, Florida, which is a couple hours south, and turned around Saturday and came right back. But I'll tell you, for 2 hours there and 2 hours back, we drove with the windows down. It was 89 degrees and lovely. Got home and it was snowing and cold. So you people who live in warm places, consider yourself fortunate. In fact, there should be some kind of law that people who live in warm climates should have to move away every once in a while just to appreciate what you have. It's been a little weird here, actually, since I've been home. For the last couple days, there has been... my office is down in the basement, and that's where I'm broadcasting from right now. And... there's some Christmas storage boxes, and all of a sudden they started playing Jingle Bells. I don't know why. There's some kind of music box down inside there that either a mouse has turned on or it is, you know, magically turned on itself, and it's been kind of weird. I keep thinking it's going to run out of batteries, but it hasn't yet. It sounds like one of those wind-up kind. So maybe I've stumbled onto perpetual motion and that it will never go off. We'll just find out and we'll see. It's a beautiful day here today, nice and warm, about 60 degrees, maybe even a hair warmer than that. I thought I'd maybe take Abe and Ike over to the little lake we have right next to us that has a little sandy beach in the summertime that is filled with people, and I thought maybe he'd take his new Christmas gift that I got, a metal detector, a real metal detector, not a toy metal detector, and then we'd go over and look for some treasures, but still a little cool for that. But it does kind of get me in the mood for unpacking the RV. Getting the Family Man Mobile ready and hitting the road. It has been covered up. Last week or week and a half ago, I took in the furnace that we had fixed last summer, and it was running fine, but we only ran it a couple times. And then in the fall, it was spewing out this black soot. So I had to take it in. And of course, it wasn't just some simple fix that they turned up last time or that they, a mistake they made last time. They had to replace the, combustion chamber inside, which is a couple $100, but we're up and running now, even though I haven't plugged it in. I got to do that sometime. It's not a little fix. It's going to take me some time to do that, but still haven't unwrapped the RV, but one of these warm days I'll unpack it, unwrap it, and put a battery charger on it and crank her up and pray and cross my fingers and hope that it starts. It would just not be a good season if it didn't. It got off to that kind of... But it could happen. My daughter told my wife the other day that she saw a groundhog run underneath the RV. I'm hoping that it passed through and went to the other side, because I'd been keeping an eye on the snow around the RV to see if there were any tracks. I never saw any tracks, so I'm hoping there's no groundhog in there doing some really, really nasty things. To wires and things that could cause some real problems. I've also been thinking about it as we get ready to hit the road. I didn't realize, I guess because I don't watch the news, but people are starting to scare me because they're telling me about these gas prices that are going to go up. And, you know, it just irks me a little bit. I'm sorry. But why is it that if they say gas prices are going to go up, it like gives them license to take the gas prices up? It's almost like saying someone starts that, like that rumor, and then the gas companies just follow it. So I was thinking maybe, you know, I should start the rumor that gas prices are going to go down. So I'm just going to start talking that way, especially right here for the very first time. So I heard, you know, gas prices are going to go down. I don't know why, but they're probably going to go down over the summer. Maybe get down there, you know, around $2, which would be really good. In fact, I came across this site because I was seeing, like, you know, what the gas prices are. And this makes absolutely no sense. I found this site on the website called GasBuddy.com. Find local gas prices. They have this map of the United States with different colors on it. You know, kind of looks like a weather map. with different colors on it, you know, like red, dark red being the most expensive, up to $4.20 a gallon, down to dark green, which is $3.30 a gallon. Now, you would think that if you were, say, a gas manufacturer or a petroleum manufacturer, things along the coast where oil comes from would be cheaper, right? No, that's not true. That's where it's more expensive. California is the most expensive. You know, along the East Coast, it's kind of expensive. Down in Florida, it's kind of expensive. Texas isn't as cheap as it should be. The cheapest places are places like Montana and Idaho and North Wyoming and Colorado. Those are like landlocked. You have to drive like a lot farther to get gas there, but it's the cheapest there. In fact, I would think, you know, the demand would be a lot less there, or maybe that they would just have a higher price there, but not the case. In fact, there is a place in Denver. I'm looking at this gigantic green, dark green state of almost 330, and there's one bright red spot right in the not in the middle. That's I don't know where it is. It must be near the skiing mountains because it's not in Denver, but it's west of Denver. So it makes no sense to me. But you know what? People keep asking me, so what are you going to do as the gas prices go up? And I'm like, we're just going to keep driving, I guess. You know, the alternative is to cut bait, you know, and stay home. But we're just going to do whatever it takes. I had a good friend, Dan, once challenged me. Said, you know, I was like, told him I was praying the gas prices would go down before we hit the road. And he goes, well, why would you pray that? He said, why don't you just pray that God would meet your needs? And so from that point on, I did. And you know what? He has. So anyway, but I wouldn't mind if the gas prices kind of dropped down. Also read in the news last week. I don't know. This was kind of late news, but somebody had sent it to me. I'm looking for it right now. Somebody had sent me a little link about the oldest living married couple. Now, I went to check it out, and they were North Carolina, an African-American couple. And I found out that they had died a year ago, so it must have been took me a long time to get forward to me. But I did a little bit of searching, and the oldest living couple right now is Karam and Kartari Chand, who live in New York, and they have been married for 86 years. That's right, 86 years. They were married in 1925. He's 106 right now, and his wife is 99 years old. And they were married really, really young, I think. I thought I had it there. Maybe that was the oldest couple. But they have 8 children, 27 grandchildren, 23 great-grandchildren. The great-grandchildren must be about 60 years old. But they're actually in pretty good health. And they're about the third oldest married couple ever in modern history. The oldest couple, the only couple in modern history to be married over 90 years, was a family, husband and wife, Daniel Bakeman and Susan Bakeman. But they died before, just right after the Civil War. They were married 91 years and 12 days. He was married when he was 12, and she was the ripe old age of 14. So they're the only couple in modern history that can say that have reached 90 years, 90 plus years. And I think it would be a great gift to be able to go that long, but I can't imagine all the hardship. Yes, someone just knocked on my door. I'm going to stop for a second. Okay, I'm back. That was just my daughter Maggie Rose, who wanted to tell me that her brother was not acting very nice. Her little brother Cal, who just threw a gigantic thing of Playmobil on the floor in anger. So I'm going to have to go take care of that in a little bit, but not yet. He's already in his room, laying on his bed, sitting on his bed, and I'll go take care of that in a little bit. Isn't it great to be a dad? I'll tell you, it just isn't very easy sometimes. Matter of fact, I just texted my wife, who had to go run an errand, that sometimes this family thing gets pretty hard. You know, it just seems unrelenting. So I can't imagine that if you had lived, you know, 86 plus years together, how much hardship you would have experienced with family and kids and marriage. But it is worth it. So anyway, I was thinking about that. In fact, I came across a verse in the Bible that, the other day. I never read this. Maybe I had, but I just don't remember it. And it's in, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. It says, and this is, Paul talking to the Corinthians, And he's talking about, you know, how it's been hard for him. He says, now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. And then he says this, and I know this isn't about being a dad, but it's a great verse for dad. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children, or should save up for their children. And then he says, so I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. You know, and if you put that in a dad verse, so I'll very gladly spend for you, my children, everything I have, and expend myself for you as well. You know, and that's really the joy of being a dad, and we get to spend it all, you know, all our time, all our efforts, everything on our children. Guess what? That's exactly what they ask, you know, everything. So that's not always very easy. In fact, sometimes that's really, really hard. And again, I see parents all the time who come up to me with tired eyes and tired hearts, and you can tell they've been through the ringer. Unfortunately, they don't have the luxury, and neither do you, or neither do I, to toss in the towel. We don't even have the luxury to take it easy, because our kids are counting on us, right? And they do take just about everything from us, and then they leave us on the other side all wrinkled and tired and worn out and unable to enjoy things anymore, because we just are babbling on the other side. So that isn't easy. I was also thinking this week, my family and I, because my sister-in-law has recommended this series on video. My wife got it off Amazon, I think. A series called, I just went blank. What's her name? Sue Thomas, FBI, and the I is crossed out, and it's replaced by a EYE, like the I in your head. It's about this lady who's an FBI agent who happens to be deaf, and it's got to be Christian based, and it's very tame. They talk about God and trusting in God and praying to God, and I thought maybe the acting wasn't the greatest, but it really is very entertaining. And we were watching it the other day, and one of the characters had a kind of a run-in with one of the guys who he put up years ago, and now he's out and he's wanting to, you know, get revenge, as they always do. And he has kind of a scary situation where his family's kind of threatened, and he's threatened, and he's laying with his wife in bed, or no, maybe that's not laying, but he's cradling her in his arms, and they're kind of holding on to each other because they're fearful. And they're just talking about family, and they're talking about their kids. And he says, you know, as he's talking about how his kids are growing up, he said, how did we get here so fast? And, you know, that phrase kind of stuck in my head, and because it is a great phrase. Even as we celebrated my son Abraham's birthday, just yesterday, he was 11 years old, and, you know, it just seems like yesterday we brought him home from the hospital, and he has a little birthmark on his left eye, just right where his eyebrow meets his eye, about the size of a thumbprint. And I can remember bringing him home and having him and seeing that little birthmark, and you know, just when he was so little and so full of energy, and he still is, but now he's a grown-up kid who's acting like a grown-up kid, and it won't be long before he's a big kid and a teenager kid and a 20-year-old kid, and then leaving my house. And you know, I think kind of like that character on that Sue Thomas FBI. How did we get here so fast? And I don't always like it going so fast. I wish it'd kind of slow down a little bit. In fact, all my kids are growing up too quickly. In fact, Ben, we were talking yesterday as we were driving up to the Wilson family favorite restaurant. No, it's not McDonald's, for Abe's birthday. Or maybe we were driving on the way home. And we were talking about, you know, getting ready to hit the road in the Family Man Mobile. And we were talking about next year. We've already made some arrangements for next year's schedule, and in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Orlando, Florida. And Ben mentioned something about going with us next year. He said, well, you know, I mean, if I do. And it just like hit me like a ton of bricks that maybe his time of riding in the Family Man Mobile is running out. That he's going to have his own family one day, or do his own thing. And I mean, I could just feel the emotion well up, and I didn't really like that feeling very much. But, you know, it's going to happen. I guess my job and your job, Dad, is to enjoy it. And so I just even challenge you today that, you know, wring it dry, you know. Don't let it slip by. Don't let it slip by without us being aware, you know, that we should never be guilty and, you know, of just like letting it happen. We shouldn't be taken by surprise because we know it's happening. It's happening. And I just want to enjoy it. I know last night with all my boys, my older boys, I guess, my four oldest, we watched Star Wars last night, the original, you know, and even though I was surprised, there were a couple bad words on it. I didn't like that. But it was kind of fun just having us and remembering when I saw it in about the seventh grade. I can remember going with some a friend and with my dad and with my brothers. But it was a moment that I hope they'll never forget, and I know I'll never forget. But sometimes we dads, if we're busy, we're going to miss out on those things, and those things cannot be taken back, right? Here I'm over here at the Family Man Forum, just looking at a question. And GB asks, hello, he said, I'd like your thoughts on good activities for my 11-year-old son. I just happen to have one of those. Lately, I've observed that he is frequently bored and taking more and more interest in computer games and videos. When not playing his games or watching videos, he's continually thinking about what big activity is coming up, typically when he will be able to be with friends. He does enjoy his friends and is fine as long as they are around and we are embarking on some activity. Mainly, I'm looking for things he can do around the house when his friends and I are not around. He is homeschooled with three sisters, so he's home a lot with only the girls around. They seem to be able to find things to occupy their time while he cannot. He enjoys outdoor activities like hunting and fishing, but we live in the city, so those things are not practical at the house. There's a funny story about him hunting in the backyard, but I'll save that for another day. His birthday is tomorrow, so birthday present recommendations would be helpful. Thanks for the help. You know, I hear a lot of people talking about this, especially for homeschoolers, because sometimes, you know, you other lucky people whose kids get to go off to school, you know, they spend the day away and then they come home and then they have something to do in the evening. It's new. But some of our homeschool kids, you know, they're home all day long. And, you know, if they're not busy all day long, it does seem like they're bored. Now, when I ask my kids that, even though they look bored, they'll say, no, I'm not bored. And so sometimes I think we feel for them when they're not really bored. I think sometimes we make a mistake by jumping in there and filling up all their time. I think sometimes they need to do more than just playing. Maybe they need to have some chores, not even some chores, but maybe some family activity, a job that you're working on. Maybe that's something in your garage that you wanted to clean up, or you wanted to, I know my dad, or I'd do this for my boys, you know, I'd have a bunch of boards that we've ripped off and I needed to knock out all the nails. So I have them sit out there with their hammer and knock out all the nails. Or I give them jobs. I know we have a kind of a fire pit where we have, you know, marshmallows in the fall and things like that. But I had a huge stack of wood next to the side of the house that we had gotten from remodeling. And so, you know, I would told the boys, you guys need to burn that up. So they would take turns going out there and they'd start the fire and then they'd play in the fire a little bit and then they'd, you know, finish it up. And you know, they felt good having it all done and gave them something to do. You know, I'm all in for building and creating, but sometimes, you know, we put so many restrictions on them that we even hamstring them in those areas. I mean, we don't want them to make messes because, hey, that's part of the price of having our kids at home, especially if you homeschool. They're going to make more messes. So maybe we suck it up and we let them do those things. I would not fall into the trap of letting them just play video games or watching videos. You know, I know that's a huge trap. I know we've fallen for some of that. Because it's easy. It's easy to say, why don't you just go put it in a video? But we can't do that. We can't take the easy way out. Video games, it'd be easy to just say, why don't you go play your video game? And I'll tell you, there are kids who play so many hours on there, and it's not good for them. Not because it's just a waste of time, but because it builds habits that they'll want to do that later on when they have families of their own. And we could go on and on about the techno beast that has such a huge grip on our lives, and sometimes I feel like in some of my children I have let them have that technology too much. But hey, it's where we live, it's the best we do at the time, we make adjustments, but we cannot fall into that trap of just letting them veg out on those things. I know dads who can't think of anything else to do. I see them whenever I go speaking somewhere or in the airport. I'll see them standing there with their families. You know, they're talking to their families. They've got their little phones turned over on their sides, you know, lengthwise. And they're playing video games just like their kids are. And that's not good. So don't let them do those things. I don't know the easy answer. But don't feel too guilty. You know, they're gonna figure out what to do with all their spare time. And you may not be able to fill all that in for them. So that's not too bad. Let's see, what else have we got over going on over at the forum? Any other good questions? There was an article about a guy being caught up in pornography and a child who really lost all respect for their dad because of it. And, you know, maybe you need to go check out that article, but just a reminder, Dad, the enemy prowls around like a lion, and he's trying to devour Dad, and he is devouring Dads every single day. You know, we say this pornography is every man's battle, and it pulls, you know, and it takes no prisoners. And it starts so innocently by taking a look here, taking a little look there, lingering a little bit, doing a little bit of search here, going back to that same search. Don't do it. It will kill you. And don't assume that your kids are okay either, you know. That's a story we hear repeated over and over again. Moms and dads who assume that everything's going okay, that their kids wouldn't find anything. Their kids are finding things. Our kids are finding things, and we have to be on top of that, you know, helping them through that. Hey, oh, I was going to say something else, too. I've been working on this project, getting ready for next Father's Day, and if you're on my email, you already know this. The last week, I mentioned something about this t-shirt project I'm working on, and I with this phrase, dad cool, you know, and I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I guess I've hit a little hot topic, because some of you guys love the idea, and some of you guys don't like the idea, but my idea was, you know, trying to embody fatherhood with an icon. And I had you guys write in. Some of you guys had great icons. Some of you had not so great icons. A little complicated. An icon should be something really simple that you see and go, oh, yeah, it's about being a dad. Somebody wrote in and said they thought the icon that embodied fatherhood was a pair of sandals with black socks. And when I read that and saw that, I thought, that's it. And so I'd been tinkering around with a little logo, you know, with some black socks and sandals. And underneath, dad cool. And some of the guys wrote and said, well, you know, I don't think we should ever wear, you know, fall into that trap. And I wouldn't want to wear, you know, dark socks with sandals because I'm cool and I don't want to be that way. And my wife wants me to be cool. And I agree. I agree that we should look as cool as we can, not for the world, but for our wives. I mean, my wife wants me to look good. She doesn't like me to look like my dad sometimes. And so she wants me to look good. She wants me to dress modern fashion and not wear the same old thing. And she wants me to get my hair done differently every once in a while. And, you know, it would be easy to say, well, hey, I'm a dad. I'm just the way I am. I'm not going to do that because my wife wants to be attracted to me. Your wife wants to be attracted to you. And, you know, she wants to look at you and think that you look hot, you know, like a stud muffin, like you are, like you used to care about. And so I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying that, you know, dad sock. But there's something about that that says, you know, our cool has changed a little bit. Because, you know, even when I go to the airport, I have this habit of watching men's shoes. And so, you know, I'll see the guys around me. And I don't know if this is a real study, but I think I can tell a lot about a guy by his shoes. I mean, if he's got regular shoes on, not to say he's a great dad, but he's probably attentive to the needs of his kids. But every time I see this guy with these, you know, European shoes on, it makes me begin to look at the rest of him, you know. And I sometimes, you know, he's dressed up. And more often than not, I can see that he's a little attentive to other people walking around of the opposite sex, you know. And I sometimes think this guy thinks he's too cool. Coolness is too important to him. Because coolness, I'll tell you, as a dad, we don't have time for coolness, right? We just don't have time for that. We have other things to worry about. I can't worry about, you know, my shirts being spotless and wrinkle-free and a nice crease down the shoulder. And, you know, my shirts get wrinkled and spit up on and spots from my kids and, you know, from their saliva when they're crying on my shoulder. Excuse me. And, you know, my cars aren't shiny and pretty anymore. Not that they were very pretty to begin with. You know, now instead of having some sleek sports car, now I have a minivan, or even worse, I've got a 15-passenger van that's all rusty and needs some attention, and there's a pit inside. And I could say, well, that's just because I'm not giving my attention to those things that are important. But the truth is, those things aren't even important. You know, they don't even really matter. It doesn't matter if I have cool European shoes or, I want to look good for my wife, and I don't want to get, I don't mean that. But our coolness changes, right? And that's the whole thinking behind dad cool. You know, all of a sudden other things are cool. Now, the old station wagon, you know, that or the old minivan the big van with a Reese hitch on it, you know, that can pull a bunch of bicycles on it in a trailer. Now, that's dad cool. You know, the grill that, that looks like an egg, that's dad cool. You know, just having any old sunglasses that you can find with two pair of lenses, that's dad cool. Using duct tape to fix things is dad cool. And that those sandals with dark socks, even though we may never wear them, that's dad cool. And there are dads all over the world, you know, at least all over the Midwest, who are that. And we're part of something really, really important. And maybe we're not quite as sharp or quite as cool and quite as attentive to those things as we used to be. But we're dad cool. And that's a good, good thing. Hey, we've got about 3 more minutes left before we need to close up. And I was just going to come back to that theme or topic of, you know, the kids growing up. How did we get here so fast? I got forwarded by a couple guys, Heath Glendon. He sent me this just even this morning by an article by W. Bruce Cameron, called The Last Dance at the Bus Bar. And basically he tells a story about for the last, I don't know how many years, he and his kids have gone by, and they see these bus barns, you know, with lots of buses in them, and the son always says something about it. And he realized just not too long ago that his son didn't say it anymore. And he can kind of, he points back at another time where he specifically remembers the last time that he and his son held hands, you know, crossing a busy street. He didn't remember the last time they talked about the bus barn, but he remembers, he knows there was a last time. And I think that about a lot of other things, you know. Maybe this is the last time tonight, you know, where your kid opens up in a certain area. Or maybe this is the last time where you're driving down the road and your kid goes, slug bug, dad, you know, because they grow up. Now, I would like to think, you know, my kids are never too old for that. But I know there will be a time. I know there will be a time where I won't wrestle on the floor with one of my kids anymore. I mean, I don't do it with Ben or Sam anymore, even though I do kind of put them in a headlock every once in a while. But there was a time. It was the last time. And maybe even tonight, you know, as you close down, maybe even think about that. You know, not to make it the last, but maybe you hang on to one of those things. Maybe it's reading a story to one of your little kids, or maybe it's snuggling with your daughter, or maybe it's, you know, ruffling up the hair of one of your kids. Not to linger on the being the last, but maybe just to linger on it being the best. Enjoying it today, because it might be the last. So, no regrets, right? Well, hey, I'm just about out of time. I gotta go work on the RV some more. We're gonna pack up some books as we head over to Springfield, Missouri. If you think about it, as you're listening to this, I'll probably be driving as you're listening. Would you pray for me? Pray that I'll be a good dad. Pray that I'll be a good husband. Pray that the RV will just hold together as we get ready to drive. Because not this week, but in a couple weeks, we're going to be driving from Chicago to LA, on Route 66. It's a long way. I hate to get stuck out in the middle of that thing. So, you keep up the good work. Thanks for being my friend, and you to dad.